The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 11:50am with Sean Quinn, Chris Pimlott and Darren Owen in the studio. We have jumping from Hexham and Warwick on Wednesday afternoon. We've also got all weather action on the poly track at Lingfield. And we finish the day with a twilight meeting at Kempton on their poly track, the feature being the Hyde Stakes on their card. So plenty of good racing to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
Yeah, pretty good, mate.
Yeah,
pretty good.
Good. We'll start with
to think about that. Yeah. Am I all right or not?
Yeah.
Has anyone ever turned round and said, "No, Mark, I'm absolutely cheesed off"?
No, they haven't. Which I'm quite glad. I don't think
I should have done. Just a break precedent.
Yeah. Oh, I'm absolutely devastated.
I can't believe I'm doing this podcast. I'm sick of doing it. I want to go home.
Yeah.
No, 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 none of that.
Don't hold back, mate.
None of that.
Just a quick last final reflection, really, on the open meeting, Andy. If I were to ask you for one horse to take out of it, or a horse we could look towards the Cheltenham Festival for, which one would that be?
Well, I talked about it yesterday on the show itself. It has to be King's Palace, visually and, of course, on the clock, having done the times. His circuit time was comparable with the Paddy Power Chase, suggesting that he's gone really hard on the last circuit, but his overall time was the best furlong per furlong time of the 3 days. Traditionally, that meeting doesn't throw up many Cheltenham Festival winners, obviously plenty of contenders, but actually going on to record victories after a win at the Paddy Power meeting is quite a rare bird nowadays. So he's got to do something that a lot of horses have tried and failed before. But if there is going to be one, it'll be him. And the RSA very much on his shortlist and his long-term target. And we know he obviously jumps well around Cheltenham as well and can jump at a championship pace already.
Yeah.
And he saw off a good field. So, yeah, quite straightforward, really, answer. He'd be the one.
Okay. Good stuff. While we're on the subject of Cheltenham Festival winners, we're going to see a few of the more likely winners of the Champion Hurdle. Definitely two of the main contenders in Forheen and the new one at the weekend, Andy. They're running in different races. Forheen's going to run in the Coral Hurdle at Ascot, and the new one running at Haydock in their hurdle race, big hurdle race. So, good weekend to look forward to in that respect.
Yeah, it is, yeah. We get this weekend, don't we, when we get these two big races clashing and see what kind of feels we do get and what kind of performances we get off the two main stars in each individual race. Obviously, Fahin, all eyes will be on him at Ascot. It's a race that Annie Power took last year, and obviously the stable have had their eye on this race as a good starting point for the season. He's a horse that I like a lot of people, think a lot of. His figures have been very good from last season. He looks a champion hurdle horse in the waiting. We know he goes around Cheltenham really well. And he should really dismiss his opponents on Saturday, albeit, you know, they're a decent quality field, quite readily. Well, certainly going to have to if he's going to be a champion hurdle horse.
Yeah.
But it's meant that one or two of the other big guns, if you like, have side-footed the potential clash and gone to Haydock, including the new one.
Yep.
Who runs in the inaugural running of that Betfair Price Rush Hurdle for $100,000. Good bit of placing, obviously, by Nigel Twist and Davis and connections, picking up a nice pot on the way. I'd imagine they'd then go to Cheltenham and have a run round there in one of the trials, and that'll set him up nicely for the Champion Hurdle, of course, a race which he was a tad unlucky in last year.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. As the picture is at the moment for the Champion Hurdle, who would you side with? I mean, Hurricane Fly was back to form at the weekend as well, getting the better of Jeski. He's now he's now rated £4 higher, so he's level with Jeski, and it's all still wide open, really, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I think we're going to get another exciting division this year. I think there's a good five or six horses you can throw into the mix, and we've still got a few on the sidelines. Your Josses Hills, your potentially a Vanitos. You know, those sort of novices coming through from last season. We've obviously got to see Fahin to see whether he cuts the mustard. Hopefully he will. And then waiting in the wings is the old guard, if you like. You know, last year's sort of representative Jet Ski, Hurricane Fly to a smaller degree.
Yeah.
I think jet ski's still the one I'd... If I had to have a bet sort of now, if you gave me a selection and what I'd put up at 6-1 each way, I think he'd be the one. But I'm also a massive fan of Faheen. And if he does something spectacular on Saturday, then I think one or two bookmakers will be running for cover with him.
Yeah, he's 11-4 at the moment. If you fancy him, might make sense to back him before that.
I think so, yeah. He'll only go the one way, won't he, if he wins.
Yeah, exactly. And you'd want him to win, really, to stay clear,
yeah,
wouldn't you?
So. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's all exciting. Just a word on Annie Power as well. She's expected to make her reappearance at the end of this month, probably in the Hatton's Grace hurdle at Fairy House. I hope she does, because I'll be there to see her. But she might also go to the Fighting Fifth on the day before. So yeah, it's warming up nicely as the hurdling division. In terms of chasers, we've also got the Betfair Chase. Q Card, Dynast and Silviniaco Conti all 3-1 at the top of the betting at the moment. Takandasoy is 6-1, 7s for Minora, 14s for Harry Topper, and then 16-1 or bigger prices for the others. Again, Andy, it's quite open. It's hard to nail your colours to one confidently, really, isn't it?
Well, I hope all those horses you've just mentioned run and we get a nice shape to the race so we can have an each way bet. We want an 8 or 9 runner field.
Yeah.
Hopefully one or two don't sidestep the race. Q Card, last year's winner, ran well in the race down in Exeter the other day. That would have blown away the cobwebs. This will be more like the old Q Card. You'd imagine, particularly now the Tizard team are running well.
Mm-hmm.
I think the one who's got the most questions to ask is Silviana Caconti, who was slightly disappointing up in Weatherby for the Charlie Hall. And I thought on the day he was beaten fair and square by Minora. And Takandasoy, of course, fought out the finish in the lightest possible phrase. I thought Minora was well on top that day. He'd need the ground to dry out to be a major contender on what could be deep winter ground at Haydock. But if it is soft, I think Takandasoy is a fair price.
Yeah.
He's a horse I've always believed in and think that the Gold Cup certainly is not without the question for him. And if he's to put in another good display there in a recognised Grade 1 chase over 3 miles, i.e. finishing the first two, still think I wouldn't rule him out because he's very much a Cheltenham horse. Most of his forms come at Cheltenham in the spring. Yeah. And of course, when he won last year's novices chase there, the Grade 1, he beat a good field in a fast time. You know, there are lots of Uxie's Andra, Wonderful Charm.
Yep.
These horses who were beaten by him that day have all come out and franked the form. And that second division of chasers, have obviously, they're looking as though they're moving through the ranks quite rapidly. And of course, with the wide open nature of the Gold Cup this year, I don't think you can say that any of these kind of horses are not without a chance.
Yeah. I'd be sticking with Takandasoy. I've stayed with him so far. The ground will come into his favour when it's softer.
It's going to be on the soft side, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's going to dry out, and the forecast is quite bad. They might get a bit of rain Friday, but up until then it's going to dry out from whatever it is now. I think going into Friday it's going to be good to soft, and then whatever they get Friday strike Saturday morning determines what they're going to get on the day. But that'll be good because it'll mean the likes of Philip Hobbs will look towards Minora and think we'll go with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then you know we might get your double Rosses, your Harry Toppers and your Medamies also going. It's a big pot. I can't believe that any trainer will have any inkling of withdrawing their horse.
Yeah.
You'd like to think all those ones that are quoted, barring perhaps one, they'll all run, which will make for an exciting race.
It just depends on the ground, doesn't it? If it becomes heavy, then Minora won't run. Philip Hobbs has already said
I don't think
that,
it's going to get heavy, Mark. No. I pretty much...
Well, I think the prediction is that it won't be heavy.
No,
so.
I don't think it's going to get that. So we might get all those running. If we do, then I think that will really tell us a lot where we stand, you know, with the old guard, the Q Cards, the Silviana Cacontis, the Dynasts, or do we look towards a sort of up-and-coming generation with Takandasoy? Takandasoy, of course, represents that second-season chaser, doesn't it? And I think if he runs another good race, then that opens the floodgates for all the others to have a crack.
Yeah, I'd agree. And while you're on the subject of Philip Hobbs runners as well, by the way, he's got quite a strong team out this weekend, bidding to follow up a pretty impressive weekend last weekend as well. It looks like that Big Easy might be back out. It was second to Cat Go at Cheltenham on Saturday. He might go to the Fixed Brush Handicap Hurdle. Wishful Thinking as well, likely to run in the Amlin 1965 chase. And then week after, it looks like Fingal Bay is going to be his only runner in the Hennessy. So his team is looking strong at the moment, isn't it?
Definitely, yeah. Had a sublime weekend, didn't they, at Cheltenham, and it could be even better, or perhaps just as good, if you like, at Haydock on Saturday when he runs one or two nice horses, including that Big Easy which you mentioned. I thought that was probably the pick of that hurdle handicap, which in the end was won by Catco, who'd obviously been laid out the race from the Pipe Stable.
Yeah.
But he went all the way around the inside, which we discussed here on William Hill Radio yesterday. Any horse that went around the inside over those 3 days and performed well, I think you've got to upgrade to the likes of Vanato, yep. Particularly Big Easy, who went ran all the swamp. To finish second was a hell of a run. And obviously Connections are looking to run him quite soon because they fear that he's going to go up in the weights.
Yeah.
So they're going to run off his old mark at Haydock on Saturday.
Yeah, and he'll probably meet Catco again. So
probably, yeah, he could meet Catco, although Davy Pop's got another one in there, Vio Leon Rouge as well, in the same colours. It's a race that obviously is synonymous with the Pipes. They've won it with Diane Aston, Jovre Chambertin last year. So anything that Pipes run, and I think they've got four or five entries.
Mm-hmm.
So whichever one he ends up running, I think that is a significant factor.
Yeah. Volney had a tie at the top of the betting, Andy, at the moment as well, one we haven't mentioned in that race. What do you make of him?
Yeah, I mean, he's hugely impressive down in Huntingdon the other day when he sauntered to victory. And Nicky Henderson also likes a run or two in this race as well. So, yeah, all the big guns are going to be playing in that race. It's an 80 grand pot. You know, it's a proper grade 3 handicap as well. All the best ones are there. You've got Trusting Times has run well in the race before. Abuson as well ran really well down in Chepstow the other day. Probably should have won that tough handicap there. And then you've got Cyberite as well, whose race is working out really well from Cheltenham. Clara McLeod, who was third in that race, that won the other day. So that's good form as well. So it's a mouthwatering race amongst others on Saturday.
Yeah, great weekend coming up. But we probably should concentrate on that.
I'm glad the missus is out Saturday as well. She's in Vienna for the weekend.
Oh, well, there you go. Fantastic.
I've tried to sound disappointed when she said.
Yeah.
I'm thinking,
oh no.
Weekend in front of the telly watching Haydock Huntingdon and all the other good stuff that goes on, and then perhaps a bit of football thrown into the mix.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. The only thing it's going to probably cost me is a few quid. So I'll probably have to give a few quid to go, you say.
Meh.
Yeah, I'll have gone. Treat yourself.
Well, you get to win it back watching
that. I've got to try and win it back.
Uninterrupted.
Yep, that's the plan.
Yeah, good stuff. Let's concentrate on matters a little closer to hand, though, Andy. We've got Wednesday's racing fast approaching, and we'll get your thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, on to Wednesday. Andy's picked out three races for us, starting with a bit of jumping. We're in the 110 at Hexham, which is a National Hunt Novices Hurdle. It's a qualifier for the EBF Stallions at the races, National Hunt Novices Hurdle. It's over the extended 2 miles. It's for 4 to 6 year olds, and we have 10 of them in the lineup here, Andy. And I suppose that the betting's going to be focused somewhere around Chieftain's Choice, and it's high time. So do you see it between the two yourself?
I do, yeah. And because It's High Time has already won here at Hexham, which I think is a major, major factor, and he did it on deep ground, I think he might just come out on top of a Chieftain's Choice, although I know that Sean and John think quite a bit of that King's Theatre Geldon, and I thought he should have won it with a B on his seasonal reappearance. He just didn't have enough left in the tank to repel the Grey Taylor in a duel up the Weatherby home straight. Plus the fact that the ground would be a slight concern for Chieftain's Choice. Up to now, his best form has been on good stroke, good to soft ground, whereas Lucinda Russell's Charge has already proven himself on proper winter ground. If you've already won round Hexham as well, I think that stands you in good stead. He scored in a very fast time as well. He might have only beat a modest field, but he looks as though he got a good engine that day when he powered to victory. Funny enough, he wasn't favoured that day. A horse from the Philip Kirby stable, the Bees, was favourite, which is a... you know, quite bizarre, really, considering It's High Time had got such good form going into that race. He was eighth in the champion bumper at Aintree. He'd previously shown really good form in bumpers at Musselburgh. I just think he's improved and he seems to have grown up into a man, and it'll take a good horse to beat him. So even though he probably won't be favourite, it'll probably be Chieftain's Choice will be favourite from, if you like, the more sexier stable. I'd stick with the course and distance form of It's High Time. The clock's telling me that horse is a good horse.
Okay. It's High Time then, proven on the ground and round the course. So, plenty of positives in his favour in the 120 at Hexham. The 350 at Kempton is the next race we're going to look at. This is a Class 5 handicap over a mile and a quarter. It's for 3 year olds and older. 14 of them in the lineup for this one, Andy, and quite an open race this.
Yeah, it is, but I quite like the claims of Leonard Thomas here. He was a strongly fancied horse the other day at Lingfield in a mile and a quarter race won by All Talk and No Do. But he just seemed to have a little bit of ring rustiness attached to him that day. It took him an age to get going, and he was closing down the leader hand over fist as the line came. I think with another perhaps 50, 100 yards, he might have actually got up that day. He did all his best work at the end. And it was, for me, a race that actually got away on that particular occasion. He's also had one run around Kempton as well. That came actually on his debut when he won quite comfortably, so we know he's got an affinity with Kempton. He could have done with a slightly better draw. 11 of 14 isn't ideal. But hopefully on this occasion, George Bacon can get him into a more prominent position, because that's very much the key at Kempton, around that mile and a quarter inside track. But this looks a weaker race than the one he contested the other day. I can't see too many horses with a massive upside. And he's by a country mile, the top of my figures looking at that race. So hopefully Lennard Thomas will prove what he can do this time.
Yeah, and they have the three starts as well, so open to
massive
much more
improvement. I think he'll improve as the winter goes on as well.
Yeah,
he looks that type.
Okay, Lennard Thomas then in the 3.50 at Kempton, and the 6.25 at Kempton as well will finish. This is the Hyde Stakes, which is a listed race over a mile for three-year-olds and older. 12 of them in the lineup here, Andy. And yeah, which one do you like here?
I'm going to probably just talk about this race extensively in a whole package, if you like, rather than get too heavily involved with absolute selections, although we'll put up a little tentative one at a price, hopefully. Captain Cats obviously are going to be a worthy favourite based on what we know of him. He's a high-class horse. We know he handles this track really well. We know he handles your weather really well. I think he won the final of the all-weather championship last year when he quickened up really smartly to win that race and seal the deal. He's since improved throughout the summer campaign, rounding off with a reasonable run behind Charm Spirit in a Group 1 at Ascot. He's rated 115, and he now comes back to Kempton, so he's going to be very difficult to beat. I presume he'll be favourite, but just keep an eye on a couple of bigger prices. Princess Trust, he's very much on the upgrade. He proved that the all-weather surface is no barrier to his upturning fortunes with a good win the other day in Lingfield. Back in third was a horse of Andrew Ballin's Intransigent, who's won well subsequently. The speed figure that race is very good, so I think he'll outrun his odds. And the other one is Sloan Avenue. If this horse is double figure quotes, I'll definitely have a few quid on him. He's 2-for-2 on an all-weather surface, 1-for-1 at the track. And the day when he won here at Kempton back in August, he beat Billingsgate, subsequent winner, Moussa Das, subsequent winner, in a very fast time. Frankie Dettori has been booked to ride. Even though he's only rated 98 and he's probably got the best part of a stone to find, I think his ability on this all-weather surface is probably not catching up with his improvement. And I think he'll outrun his odds. So Captain Cat will be the one to beat.
Yeah.
But don't disregard Princess Trust and Sloan Avenue, who are very much on the improve.
Okay. Couple to go to war with then in the 6.25. Let's just have a quick summary of your thoughts, and Andy, if you'll spin us through them one more time.
Yeah, I'll definitely be looking to back It's High Time, providing the price is right in the 120 at Hexham. Similar comments apply to Lennard Thomas in the first race at Kempton, who caught the eye last time out when third at Lingfield, and maybe a couple of odds in the 6.25, presuming that Captain Cat will be a short price and almost unbackable. I'd look towards perhaps a couple of each-way investments on Princess Trust and Slan Avenue.
Okay, good stuff, Andy. Thank you very much. Good luck with that, and enjoy it on Wednesday.
Will do. Thanks, bud.
So there you go, the thoughts of Andy Holding on Wednesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 11.50am, the early start time of 11.50am. Sean Quinn, Chris Pimlott and Darren Owen will be in the studio. We have Hexham, Lingfield and Warwick in the afternoon, and a twilight card from Kempton, so plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.